Just a quick message before we get into this episode. While all of our shows are normally kid-friendly, family-friendly, and we love kids and love that they listen to our show, the guest in this episode used a few words that may not be appropriate for all ages of ears. So just a word of warning, you may want to listen first before listening in the car with your little kiddos. On this episode of the Dudes and Dads podcast, we talk with our friend Jason Brick about safety. Joel.
Andrew.
How are you doing today?
Well, I think you said it earlier, but it's been a long day.
It has, man. This time of year especially is just, I don't know, it just seems tough with all of the stuff going on.
I have amnesia about this season every year that we enter into it and we're like, oh, right. A lot of things going on. And, you know, the weather right now is sunny one day. And very not the other. So we're figuring it out. We'll get through it.
Eventually it'll be
May warm. May is here. Maybe that means new things. Hey everybody, welcome to the Dudes and Dads podcast. Glad to have each and every one of you along for the ride. Glad to have our conversation that we're gonna have. And Andy, I'm particularly glad to be across the table from you.
It seems like it's been a while, but it's only last week we recorded last episode.
We're in rapid succession here.
We are.
Yeah.
But so Joel, we had a conversation last week about college grads and their jobs and all of that good stuff.
Yes. Why young people are struggling to maintain their employment out of college and why certain business leaders are saying, I cannot hire these people. I won't hire these people. And just, it was a little bit of a generational blackball as I think I put it.
So we did get feedback, voicemail feedback, and we appreciate that. So Steven has let us called in.
Are you talking about the Steven Berkey?
I am. And so let's listen to that.
Hey, Andy and Joel, this is Steven. Just listen to your latest episode about the 20-somethings struggling in the job world and appreciate it. It was a really interesting conversation. I thought I'd leave a little bit of feedback regarding that, not directly regarding that, but in my job as a lender at a bank, I've had multiple times where I've had mid to late 20-somethings that need a loan for a car or house. Mm. That instead of them calling me up and asking the questions, setting up the appointments, it's been mom or dad doing that. As a parent of a teenager, I'm not there yet, but I always think on those situations, you know, I think we're kind of doing a disservice if that's the case at that point. Certainly mom and dad, I think, can be great guides, giving advice. But at some point, you got to kind of let them run on their own. And if you're going to hold their hand through it, I think we're maybe doing a bit of a disservice. So anyway, just wanted to throw that 2 cents in there. You know, maybe a challenge as a parent, you know, certainly want to equip them, but at some point they got to stand on their own 2 feet. So thanks guys. Appreciate the show. Thanks.
Steven Berkey coming through big time on the voicemail.
Yes.
Wow. Andy, I had not even considered that. I had not even considered that dynamic. And wow. From somebody who's in the banking world, working through the lending. I mean, I cannot even imagine, Andy. I don't even know. Having my parents at that age call in for me.
Right. And I understand helping out a little bit for them to call in. But if you have voicemail, we would love to talk to you, hear your voicemail. 574-501-4467 is our voicemail number. Mm-hmm. 574-501-4467.
Join. The crowd.
Yes.
Get on board with Steven Berkey. Leave the voicemail. That was Steven. I just have to say that was fantastic. Love the feedback. I hope it inspires more because we love to hear the thoughts. That's great. Awesome. Yes.
So thank you, Steven, for calling that in. And tonight we are talking with returning guest, Jason Brick. Jason, welcome.
Dudes and Dads podcast alumni. Jason, congratulations. You're amongst the few, the proud, and the repeat offenders. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. We appreciate it.
Outstanding. Thank you very much. It's always good to be a recidivist.
Yeah, he escaped the program and has found his way back in for further treatment. Yeah.
So for reference, we had you back on season 4, episode 18, where we were talking about keeping our families safe. Mm. And that was all the way back in 2002.
Holy smokes.
And so you have changed back then. You had no hair on the top of your head and you have a full lock of hair right now. So,
and Jason, I have to say, I was pleasantly alarmed by the flowing locks. It's really it's striking. A little bit of gray in there, perhaps too. So, yeah. Watch out! Oh goodness, it's it's a good.
It
look.
Happened when we watched John Wick, and I asked my wife, "Hey, you know, because I'm midlife crisis age."
Yeah, yeah.
After, hey, do you think I could pull that off? The John Wick hair.
Yeah.
And she got a little catch in her throat and said, well, better try.
Oh.
Here we are.
Well, here we are. Oh, nicely done.
So lots has happened since 2002.
Do you mean 22?
Yes. And 2002.
all the things. Yes. But so much has happened since 2022, though. Yes. Uh-huh.
But you've written a book. Tell me a little bit about the book.
Sure thing. So when I come on last time, I had just started my podcast, Safest Family on the Block, where I found as many experts from as many different fields as I possibly could to tell me about keeping my family safe. And that would be a EMS captain one week, a police officer the next, but you know, where a lot of people think about safety. But I'd also get on a suicide counselor and a nutritionist and a driving instructor, just anybody from any area. And then I got together the 101 most important things that I learned from them all.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
And wrote it into this here book, which comes out on Tuesday. See, I learned how to keep my family safe, not how to properly orient the book.
Lighting is everything. Here, but yes,
hold on, there you go. You're right.
That's perfect.
There it is.
You're right.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that comes out Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, which I want to say is the 5th or the 6th.
6th,
yes. The 6th through YMAA Publishing.
Nice.
Great.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, we always, anytime anybody's authored, we've had an author on here with the book, I always like to ask the question, like, what was your process in putting this together? Was it, you just went through every expert and you just condensed what they had said, or was there kind of a, like an internal organizing principle of how you assembled your content?
Well, for this one, the book was always in mind from the very first interview.
Mm.
And so, and I envisioned it as a 101 tips structure, which is what it ended up keeping, which is really rare when you start a book that it actually resembles the original brief.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But in this case, I just kept an Excel file open. And for every interview, I take the one or two most important points. And one of the things I wanted to do was take not the conceptual things, but the stuff that's actually a thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to mine one or two out of every episode, every interview. And then when I had 100 good ones, I started writing the book.
Yeah. As he's saying this, Andy, I think to myself, we should have done that.
Yeah, we're like 7 seasons in.
Yeah,
this
it's
podcast,
like, you know, gosh, we should go back through and look at all the things that people have told us that might be of some use to people if we just put it all together. Yeah, that's pretty wild. What you know, as this book, and we obviously in our previous interview, which, you know, gosh, every time we have returning guest Andy, I just think to myself, time just flies. Like, I would not have, if you would have asked me how long ago we had the first interview, I would have been like, oh, not that long ago.
Well, I got the email from Jason a little while ago, and I we were so super busy at the time, and I didn't respond to it, but I was like, when I saw it, I was like, man, that's a throwback. When did we actually have him on?
Absolutely. 3 years ago. Yeah. 3 years ago. And so Jason, in this time, I mean, since we last talked till now, you know, as you think about the kind of the commitments and the time that you've given to really having this kind of safest family on the block conversation, what has developed in your mind? Have there been some new insights that you've gained, maybe previous understandings that you've had that you've shifted on? What has been the learning experience for you in this process as you've interviewed all these people again? And I think the amazing part is all these folks that have real life on the ground experience, I'm sure that have, because you've gotten a book out of it, like have real practical ideas. But as you've interacted with the your various guests and have had these conversations, what's sort of been your thought journey kind of from beginning to where you are now?
So one of the big ones is I found out that the baddest asses on the planet are some of the nicest, most giving humans.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, you're talking to special forces operators, veteran cops, martial arts masters, talk to a spy, a former CIA agent. And they were all so friendly and kind and giving. Mm. It's to the point where if I meet somebody who says they're a tough guy and they're mean, I doubt their tough guy credentials.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, one of the big changes that impacted my parenting, and you know, I come to this from my first career was in martial arts, security consulting, doing some bodyguard work, some bouncing, and then into journalism. But so a lot of the stuff was a little familiar to me or required tweaking. But one place that really changed was, I mean, after I talked to a lot of mental health experts, communications experts, that idea that a lot of us, because we're about the same age, we, you know, we grew up in families where if we got in trouble at school, we were going to get in more trouble at home.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, absolutely.
That our parents felt it was their responsibility to make our bad day worse. And I, you know, my two kids, they're 10 years apart, and I raised the first one under that model. Mm. And then I've learned better from talking to the experts about being that trusted resource for your kids. That if your kid gets into a fight at school or finds out they're getting an F, they don't come home going, oh God, just dreading telling us, or just really sweating bullets because they know the teacher made the call, but they come home knowing that, hey, we're going to have a sit down. I'm going to get a hug and we're going to figure it out together. And I'm not saying to, you know, shield them from the consequences, but we need to first not add additional arbitrary consequences at home. The world's going to treat them mean enough. And then walk with them to handle the meaningful, natural consequences with discipline and grace and maturity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's not how I was raised by my parents. That's not how y'all were raised by your parents. I don't think a lot of parents of people our age raise us that way. And it's not because they were bad people. It's because they hadn't learned. That wasn't the way you raise good kids back then.
Yeah.
But I found through a lot of these interviews that now we know better. And now I'm doing better, to the point that I apologized to my oldest kid. And we actually, between us, we call him the rough draft.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the eldest child is a little bit of a guinea pig. They're a little bit of a guinea pig. We like to think we get better as we go along.
Which is funny because my youngest is always like, it's not fair. You don't know what it's like to be the youngest. I'm like, you have no idea what it's like to be the oldest.
Yeah, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That rough draft face is a doozy, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not just, you know, touchy feely woo woo stuff either, but it's also safety related, because if you're kid learns in first grade that if he gets in a fight on the playground and you're going to be a resource instead of a threat, that means in eighth grade, ninth grade, when she's first gets offered drugs, she's going to come talk to you about that. And in sixth grade, you know, or not sixth grade, but 16th grade, friend, you know, sophomore, junior year, when she's serious about her first boyfriend and is thinking about physical steps, she's going to listen to your advice, whether or not she directly seeks it. And it also means when she's 27 and she's married to that guy who hit her once, she's not going to try to keep that a secret from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's going to come to you and ask what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being I think that topic has actually come up on this show a lot in one way or the other, being a safe place for our kids, being a trusted resource for them. And, in the wild world of parenting these days, where it feels like, it is a really, and you know, it's a really intentional endeavor to stay ahead of the, you know, stay have the ball and be aware of the world in which our kids are facing that is different than the world in which we grew up, as you've absolutely pointed out, even in terms of mindsets and of you know, parenting approaches. I think it can be easy to get a little bit overwhelmed in knowing all the right moves to make, but the one overlapping, I think, right move we can make is to be available, is to be a trusted place for our kids. And maybe, and I mean, and not even necessarily the place for all the right answers, you know, either.
Right. I think it's important for our kids to know that we don't have all of the right answers, yeah. but we're here and we'll explore these things together.
Yeah. It's more of a lesson on how to navigate to find the answers. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and even that kind of insight and training.
Yeah. My great grandfather used to have a line that he'd say to just, you know, I don't know. Yeah. By next week, we'll both know.
Yeah.
That's a good line. I like
it. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jason, yeah. if I pick up your book this Tuesday, I pick up your book. What's the structure? What's the layout? What can I expect if I open that first page? What am I getting into?
So it's a 101 kind of blog post length treatments of different specific skills, different specific ideas, separated into 10 chapters. The first one's golden rules. And these are things that apply across multiple situations, or they're apply to just kind of one topic, but they're so important that I thought they needed treatment right at the top. In many cases, they're busting some kind of child safety myth that's been held for a long time, or that even though we know better, a lot of people have pushback. Mm. And then from there, but there's 9 other sections. So there's one on fire prevention and accidents and first aid. And there's one on driving safety, and there's one on school safety, and there's one on internet safety, one on dating and sex, one on communication, one on family vacation training, one on crime prevention. And each of those sections has 10 tips or tricks that you can read and then go implement. Like a couple of examples in the golden rules, there's debunking the stranger danger myth. Right. That, I mean, a lot of people still teach stranger danger, even though strangers don't hurt kids nearly as much as people they know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, the people who know understand that you don't teach your kid, don't talk to strangers. You teach your kids what strangers to approach if they lose track of you.
Yeah.
Because a kid who's with people they know, they don't need help. They're getting help.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
And so you teach them, you know, for youngest kids, especially if you can't find your family, go find another family.
Mm-hmm.
Because an adult with kids is statistically the safest adult for a child to approach. You know, they're not likely to hurt a kid, at least not their own kids, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And you guys have kids. If a kid lost their people and came to you for help, you would stop at nothing short of endangering your own kids to reunite that family. Right. That would become the day's project.
Yep. That's right.
You know, so things like that, all the way down to very specific things like for car safety. And this is one I got from a bodyguard named Nick Hughes. Next time you buy a pair of sneakers, you take the old pair of sneakers and you put them in the trunk of the car. And you do that for every family member. That way, if you have a breakdown on date night, your wife's not walking to the gas station in her stilettos. And it's a really easy, simple thing to do. Next pair, you go in, you replace the car shoes with the old shoes, and then the car shoes go into the trash or to Goodwill, depending on how badly you abuse them.
Yeah.
So it's things of advice like that, from the kind of conceptual, but still very specific and with ways to act on it, down to really, really simple little changes you can make in how you move through the world that just make your family safer in ways that I hadn't thought of before I started talking to these folks.
Do you, so here's what I'm interested in on your family side. Have your kids become, how do they handle being the recipients of a dad who's just become an encyclopedia of these, like kind of best practices, tips and tricks? I'm just wondering, and again, remind me your kid's age is important in this, but I'm wondering how they interact with all this and, how you've learned to communicate these things to them.
Well, that's a good question. The oldest was 20 when the project started.
Okay.
And, you know, and they both always had a karate dad, mm-hmm. you know, so I've always been kind of in this already. And the oldest was 20, didn't have kids of his own. But you know, he was responded to some of them with, "Oh, that's nice, but dad, I don't have kids."
Mm-hmm.
But some of the others were, "Huh, all right. Like he's got spare shoes in the back of his car."
Yeah, yeah.
Like that
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
when I blew up and spent my first COVID unemployment check building really extensive first aid kits for every vehicle in the household, he was very happy to do that. And then when I hurt my leg 3 months later, he had Coban wrap and a trauma pad on it from his kit before I was done using the F word. You know, the youngest one was 10 when I started, so he still thought I was a superhero.
Yeah.
He's 15 now, so he's starting to get, roll his eyes a little bit, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. you know, on the times when it's, and this is an important thing I mentioned in the book several times about involving our kids in our planning and our plans. But, you know, he knows his roles in emergencies and practices them willingly with me. You know, I think I got another 6 months before I'm just the stupidest person he's ever met. But we'll see.
Well, it's, I always like to, this is attributed to Mark Twain, but he, you know, he's got this quote where this is a summary, but you know, he says, when I was growing up in the house, I thought my parents were the dumbest people on the face of the earth. And then I went off to college. And when I returned, I was amazed at how much they had learned. And, you know, so the hope is always that, the light bulb turns on a little bit and perspective shifts a little bit. And they see obviously out in the real world that, some of these principles and these guides are helpful. And they actually, you know, they actually touch on real life. What you've mentioned a few here just recently, practical things. Have there been other things that you've kind of had the aha with that you've implemented in the midst of this project? And you've just said to yourself, man, I'm glad I did that. Or man, I'm glad that someone told me about that so that I could be prepared for it. Is it anything that kind of comes to your mind there?
But there's all kinds of little things. And some of them aren't like, whew, I'm glad I did that. That's things would have gone really bad if I hadn't. But for example, I was telling Andrew before the show started that we spent last year in Crete. And some of the travel advice there that I got for that chapter shows up. Little things like, if you're in a developed nation, you want a hotel room between the second and the seventh floor. Because first floor is an invitation to break in. Anything above seven, you can't be sure that the ladder trucks will reach your room.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
And that goes down to four if you're in a developing nation.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Little things like that. Or advice about, you know, when you're traveling, keep enough money to buy a trinket or pay for your meal in the front pocket and then keep the other cash in other pockets. But whenever you have to count or exchange money, go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down in the stall and do it there.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Yeah. That's good advice. Is there something that you found that kind of just really surprised you when you look back at the lessons that you've learned over these 101 safety tips? Is there one that surprised you that you didn't really expect? It kind of came out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, that code word that we all got taught when we were kids, we've maybe taught our kids, where if we can't come get you at school, or we can't come get you at soccer practice, or we can't come get you at your parkour lessons, here's a code word that somebody you don't know will know to tell you if I have to send, like, you know, my office mate secretary to come get you. Right. We've heard this. We might be applying it. Yeah. Terrible idea. We shouldn't do it. the reason being, number one, they've tested it and the kids who are of the age to need that can't remember it under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, it's a secret. How close does a child stand to somebody when they're telling secrets? Within arm's reach.
Yeah, pretty close.
Sure. Yep.
So the kid leans in to tell the secret and then they're...
Yeah.
They get grabbed, you know. I want to, again, reiterate that strangers kidnapping kids is very, 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 very rare. But this thing that was designed to prevent that actually makes it easier to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the advice is actually, so imagine a situation where you or your spouse or the two or three other people who pick them up on the regular can't do it, can't make it. What would happen if you just called them and said you're going to be late and to watch your kid until you can show up? You trust those people with your kids because they're there already.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them like you and your kids and they're professionals. And this isn't the first time it's happened to them. And in the real big blow up emergencies, like a school, you know, your school, your church, your karate school, whatever, the facility is probably safer and more comfortable than your house anyway.
Mm.
So for me,
yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are, as you think about this book, it's a labor of love. You're sort of birthing this thing out into the world. What is your hope for it? What when you think about those that are potentially getting this and implementing it, what do you really hope kind of in your heart of hearts that comes out of people interacting with it?
I've got kind of a personal goal and a professional goal. Personal goal is real simple. I wanted to save somebody's life. Mm. I want a kid to survive into adulthood and have kids and grandkids of their own and make a difference in the world because their parents read a chapter in this book at some point. Mm. I don't want any family to go through the experience that it would require for that to happen because I'm not a monster. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what I want for the book. That's why I'm putting it out in the world. And I hope that happens.
Yeah.
On a professional level, there's a book called The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker, which is like the go-to personal safety book and has been since the mid-90s. And that guy wrote a book called Protecting the Gift, which has been the go-to parental safety book. You go, you call 20 martial arts schools today and do it that five times you've called 100 martial arts schools and ask them, hey, what book should I buy? I just became a parent. 90 of them will recommend Protecting the Gift. And I would outsell it.
Yeah.
So I want to replace its spot in the ecosystem. I want it to be the new Protecting the Gift.
Awesome. Awesome. So what spurred you on to this whole project? Not just the book itself, but, think way back into the blog and the podcast that you started. Like, what actually started that for you to go, hey, because you said yourself, I was doing a bunch of different things before I did this and I changed and did this. So what sparred that on to go, hey, I want to start this safety thing?
So the very first seed goes back to 2008. And that was the year I adopted my oldest son. And at that time I was running a martial arts school. I had 4 degrees of black belt. I had bodyguard assignments. I had worked as a bouncer. I had done very stupid things in very stupid places and came back still alive. I kind of thought I was a badass.
Mm-hmm.
And this adoption was an in-family, extended family adoption where dad wasn't in the picture and mom became medically incapable of caring for him further. And so it wasn't, try with your wife for a year and a half and then have 9 months of warning. And it wasn't, folks who have adopted know it is often a very long process. Mm-hmm. It was, oh shit, I've got a kid. And I remember the weekend before we transferred him over, before he came to live with us, I was practicing some weapon disarms with some people at the seminar, and then we were doing some gun disarms, and every single one of them, the gun's pointed at you, you just turn, you capture the gun, you pull it past you down at about hip level, which keeps me from getting shot. But if there's a 7-year-old, he was 7 at the time, standing directly behind me, which is where I'd probably want him to be standing if there was trouble, it points the gun directly at him.
Mm.
I was like, hold on, wait just one damn minute here. And I realized and kind of thought about it, realized how little of the training I'd had and the experiences I'd had anything to do with protecting a child. And then I kind of broadened that to, and that's just my crime prevention, self-defense stuff. I was even dumber about fire prevention. I had a first aid certification from back when I was a camp counselor when I was 19. When I went to re-up my first aid stuff, they'd added AED since the last time I'd gotten the car.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And just from there, I realized how ignorant I was. And then because I've had very good coaches, my immediate response to being ignorant is go find people who aren't and just wring them dry of information. And that's kind of how the project started. And the podcast and the book idea and all that was my COVID seizure.
Gotcha.
Yeah. 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 I think about it, Andy, like our show began just before COVID. And I think to myself, like, how lucky we were to start it beforehand. Cause I'm not sure we would have, I'm not sure we would have, reacted the same way, but yeah, I think, Jason, it's really, I think it's just a really, really cool thing that, there's people out there in the world like you that are kind of taking all these things in and helping give some, I, you know, practical advice without being an alarmist. I mean, like you said, I mean, some of these scenarios, they may or may not ever happen to us. We may or may not find ourselves in those situations, but.
Well, we hope we never.
We never do. Yeah. But, you know, in a world where prevention is, well, whatever the saying is, what an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, you know, these things are helpful to not be generally ignorant about, mm-hmm. you know, and to realize that, because I think so many of the things that you're talking about are pretty simple preventative things that the vast majority of us can approach if we just give some brain power to it and think about it for a second. And maybe even uncover some, you know, some liabilities that we have, you know, in areas that are also, you know, more readily approachable. And, you know, I was talking with, oh gosh, this came from a mental health professional that I was engaging with and really had the conversation about, you know, the people that are frequently the most traumatized by things are the naive. It's naivety that is, you know, that, oh, that probably won't happen, or those things can't happen, or whatever, that when it does, catches them so off guard that they're the most damaged by it, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, all of that. So
you know, there's the, you know, this can't be happening. Mm-hmm. There's the what's happening. Mm-hmm. And there's the how dare this happen? Mm-hmm. All three of which just slow down the time between the bad things happening and you developing an appropriate plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So thinking about it ahead of time, having a plan ahead of time, it's also really just an investment in your own well-being of, if I hear what you're saying correctly, you know, of just shortening our reaction time. And also giving clarity to our reaction and what we're going to do. And that little bit of insight just it's of great help. Obviously, there's a ton of variables out in the world, things that we have zero control over, but the things that we do have control over, we should take seriously. And that's a really, really great reminder. So,
yeah. And as you say, this stuff we can do is fairly simple. It's scary, but it's not hard. Mm-hmm. You know, things like stocking your first aid kit. So that when your idiot brother who's living in the house puts a broken mug in the trash bag, mm-hmm. and your idiot self drags that to the curb and gives themselves a spear wound in the calf, you have Coban wrap and a trauma pad ready to hand.
I tell you, Jason's example there was strikingly lifelike and seemingly parallel to reality.
Purely hypothetical.
Yeah, sure. It sounded totally.
I'm not that dumb.
Yeah,
but we do get caught out. We got a new car relatively recently, and I was driving from Portland to Denver to do a seminar, and I had a blowout on the side of the road in Idaho. So I pull over, and you know it's a 2-lane highway in Idaho with trucks blasting past at 85 and about. And a shoulder that's maybe 6 inches wider than my car. And that's when I realized I have no idea how to find the donut and the equipment in this car that I just bought a month ago. So I'm on the side of the road on YouTube.
Best case scenario.
Yeah.
You know, you catch yourself out. Yeah. And it's, you know, just having that systematic approach, the small things, the tips, the lists and all of that to keep you and your family safe, you know.
Yeah.
My youngest is 15. He's got his permit. Before he's allowed to have his license, he's going to change the tire on the truck at least twice.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Yep. Those skills that we often forget about, but I know that was a requirement. That was a requirement for me. And you know, it's simple things like that. So, all great stuff. That's really, really great. Again, Jason, you can put that book back up right front and center here again. Obviously, Safest Family on the Block, 101 tips, tricks, hacks, and habits to protect your family by esteemed author Jason Brick. Fantastic.
Yeah,
we're gonna. Well, We'll obviously make sure that we have that all over at dudesanddads.com in the show notes, links to the book for all of you to hop on it. What a great, you know what I'll say? You know, I'll say, Andy, both Mother's Day and then Father's Day coming
great,
up.
Great gifts.
Great gifts.
Yeah.
Great practical gifts for the people that love us the most, our moms and dads, to have that as a little bit of a manual, if you will.
Yes.
Ready to go.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Jason, for joining us. But hey, before we go, we can't let you get by.
Thank you.
Without having the pop quiz. So if you've never joined us, the pop quiz is a time that we just like to pepper Jason with questions for things that may or may not have to do with safety, but things that we think we just want to get to know him a little bit better.
There we go.
So
there we go.
Outside of the safety realm.
Yeah,
most likely. So, Joel, do you want to ask it first?
I do. I'm going to take a question out of your playbook because I think it's appropriate for Jason. Jason, currently, what is your favorite gadget?
My favorite gadget. Okay, so I'm gonna go back into the martial arts stuff because I just took a class on using a carabiner as a self-defense weapon, and it was brutal. No, it's not like you don't use it just like brass knuckles, but you slide it down to here to around the palm.
Oh.
And just a slap upside the head is now dental work.
Interesting.
Oh, man.
And let alone doing like joint locks and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You do a joint lock, it hurts. You do a joint lock with a carabiner grinding against your bones. It's absolute misery.
Wow.
It was so cool.
Friends, I've got to say the carabiner around this mitt that I've got, we might have to find a larger size, but I don't know if they make it, but I'm curious. Can I find a carabiner that will fit around my hand? Done.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Okay.
I did a lot of rock climbing in college and they're out there.
Okay. Wonderful.
Awesome. Jason, what is something that you want to be? No, sorry. What is one thing that, I can't read my own card today. What is something that you like that most people don't like?
Oh, the movie Hudson Hawk.
I don't know that I've seen that.
It's an old Bruce Willis movie where he's a cat burglar. He does it with Danny Aiello.
Hudson Hawk, yes.
Where the cat burglar is for precision timing, because remember, Bruce Willis had a brief recording career there. So he and Danny Aiello, to get their pinpoint timing in their capers, they choose a song and sing it, and it turns into this weird. Yeah, it's everybody panned it. Everybody hates it. People make fun of me, but I love that movie. It makes me belly laugh every single time.
All right. Well, there you go. Now everybody knows.
That's fantastic. Jason, real personal question. Are you a fan of soup?
Soup, yes, although I like stews better.
Okay, tell me your favorite, and then we'll go with that. Tell me about your favorite stew.
Mulligatawny.
What in the world?
Tell me okay, about you that.
Had, what is, now yeah, you've I'm, introduced I'm us to something new. What's going on?
Mulligatawny is what happened when Irish troops stationed in India missed stew, because stew is not really a traditionally Irish dish.
Mm.
So it is a chicken stew with lentils and curry.
Oh, okay.
And when I make it, I blend the lentils. So it's this creamy, curry tasting chicken stew with celery and onions. And it's amazeballs.
Andy, I feel like this might be the first exciting culinary dish that's been introduced to us during a pop quiz. Now, I know that we were introduced to, if you remember, Dudes and Dads alumni Sebastiano Rosa once told us about Zuppa de Mare, which is his favorite soup. Sicilian dish. But we've gotten culinary insight even into the making of one. And we're gonna look this up. We're gonna Google it. We should
make it on the podcast.
There we go. That's it. Dudes and Dads, our soup edition. Great.
Jason, tell me.
I'll send you the recipe. It's
perfect. Yeah. Done.
All right. Let's do it. Which living person do you most admire?
Oh, I wish you'd asked me that 3 months ago because it would have been my grandmother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, grandma.
Oh, yeah. So there's a fellow named Dave McNeil who runs the Goju Shore, who ran the Goju Shore weapon system until he retired a couple years ago. And he's just a deeply kind, deeply weird, deeply funny guy. And, you know, whenever I respect my father very much as well, but, you know, it's when I come to crossroads, it's often what would David do?
Mm. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Joel, do you have a last question?
My last question to Jason is, Jason, if there were, oh, we're going to steal another one from you because I like this. Because we're going to stay on the food thing real quick. Jason, if there was a sandwich named after you, what would it, what would it be? What would be on it? What would be on it? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was, if you like go to the deli and you're like, hey, I'll have an order of the Jason Brick. What is that sandwich exactly?
So it's going to have hashed green chilies from New Mexico.
Mm.
And if you do that, then it's going to need probably turkey or chicken. And then a white cheese like provolone or maybe mozzarella.
Okay.
Maybe Gruyere, but maybe that might not, that might not work too well. Throw some lettuce and a couple tomatoes, a little salt and pepper on top of that, a little bit of mayo. And then you dip it in your mulligatawny.
Oh. It's a callback. That's a callback within the pop quiz.
Yeah. Love it. Fantastic. All sorts of new things in the pop quiz today.
Jason, you've just unlocked some new worlds for us. Thank you so much. Awesome. 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 Well, hey, everybody. Jason, thanks for being with us. We will be, as we said, in the show notes, we'll get the book out, make sure people can find it, and on the socials. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it so much, my friend, all the way from the West Coast. Andy, hey, it's been real. It's been fun. Remind people where they can call us. We want to, let's get another voicemail in.
Okay,
can
yes. we do it? We would love to have another voicemail. 574-501-4467. Again, 574-501-4467.
Or reach out to us on the Gmails at dudesanddadspodcast@gmail.com. You can leave us all kinds of ideas, reviews, all that. Hey, like, subscribe, follow, high five.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends about the Dudes and Dads podcast. Caring is sharing and sharing is caring, as we say sometimes.
And go get the book for your mom and dad and, or people in the life that you care for.
Yeah, 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 exactly. If you don't get them this book, do you actually care about them? That's what you should be asking. Okay, everybody, we thank you so much for hanging out with us for another episode. And until next time, we wish you grace
and peace.